The Midnight Secret by Karen Swan. Read by Samara McLaren. Earth's crammed with heaven, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Prologue. 3rd of November 1926. Village Bay, St. Kilda. It was raining, but that was auspicious, they said. Not that Jane needed luck. She was marrying the handsomest, tallest man on the isle, a man who made her stomach cartwheel whenever she looked at him. His eyes were the colour of a June sky, his glossy dark hair worn a little longer. Shaggy, Mad Annie had said once. Like the sheep in malt, than the other men. He had broad, flat shoulders and long arms and legs, standing a whole head taller than all the men, except for Angus MacKinnon. That he was the most handsome man on the isle was never disputed. Jane could still remember the stunned silence that had fallen on her when Norman had first approached her after Kirk in the summer, asking if she'd like to join him for a walk. She had been so sure he was going to ask their new nurse, Lorna, whose arrival was all the women talked about as they did the washing in the burn. Lorna had only recently come to the isle. New blood? Ma Peg had happily exclaimed. And at 26, she was 4 years older than Norman.
A woman of the world?
Mad Annie had said with rare admiration. She was serious-minded but pretty with it, educated and clever, and able to help people in all the ways Jane, just turned 18 and brilliant at nothing, couldn't. Anyone could see that Lorna was a finer prospect for the village's most eligible male, and yet it was Jane he had wanted. Their first walk had been awkward. There was no denying it. Jane had caught Rachel MacKinnon and Christina McQueen's astonished looks as she and Norman had peeled away from the others and headed for the rocks. Neither of them had known what to say, either talking over one another or lapsing into silence at the same time. But he had been careful to keep her within sight of the village. People were going to talk and he wouldn't compromise her virtue, even though she had no family left to care. Her father had left for Australia after her mother's death, taking her two younger brothers with him. He hadn't believed Jane when she'd said she wouldn't leave with them. Even as he climbed aboard the whaling ship that would take them to the mainland, he still expected her to relent from this nonsense and follow. But then, he had never understood his own wife either, nor the burden of the curse both mother and daughter carried. To go into the wider world and expand their community was to risk the visions increasing, and those were bad enough in a village of 40. And so he had stared back at Jane with open-mouthed dismay as she stood, white-faced, on the shore with everyone else, waving them goodbye. When the ship rounded the headland, everyone had turned back to their cottages and walked in a tight huddle, their footsteps darning the hole left in their wake. It was Ma Peg, seeing Jane tremble on the shore amid her own self-imposed abandonment, who had reached for her hand and taken her back to her croft for supper. And Jane had never left. Lorna had moved into Jane's former home when she had arrived this summer, 2 years later, and so the wheel of village life had kept turning. A little bit different, but still the same. But today Jane would be leaving here. Within the hour she would be Mrs. Norman Ferguson, and tonight she would sleep beside her new husband in cottage number 2. He lived there with his younger sister Molly. The two of them had been orphaned when he was 15 and Molly just 9, and he was fiercely protective of her.